the Spirit off, and then we got to get to a place by which sometimes is more kind of anti, how do you say when it's full of, not full of germs, it feels what? Oh, come on, somebody got some, where's my wife? She's a nurse, bacteria free or something like that. Oh, she's not in this. Amen, amen, amen. Mom, you can sit, could you stay there right quick? It'd be good. Well, no, not that big of a word. Come on, I can't use antimicrobial. Not me. Everybody's going to let the children out. That's good. Amen, amen. Just keep where you've been. Most of you have been in a good place this morning. As those that are smaller than us, but able to have the same power of the Holy Spirit in them.
Yes.
Sometimes those show us how to walk in love. So this morning I ask you, man, how many of you want supernatural results in your life? Sure you would. You'd be an idiot not to have supernatural gifts from the Lord. And yet we seem to think that by using natural tools, we can get supernatural results. That don't work. You've got to use supernatural gifts to get supernatural results. Does it make sense? Some of you don't even, man, shake your head yes or no, but don't get neutral on me today. It's an important day for you, and it's an important day for this body of believers. Usually I'm talking regionally with us, but for our church today is a place by which we become stronger in the supernatural expression of who God is. And we need that more than we need anything. We need the power of the Holy Ghost moving forward. No matter what happens, we need that. So, man, y'all could, yeah, just leave her up there and y'all can get, so you're like, man, you good? Right. Hey, hold on. Let me grab, get some points here. Man. I don't even know how to start. Because usually I start with something goofy and they make you smile a little bit, but I don't want to do that. I just want you to know that we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? This is that. Right? Today, this is that. So I'm talking to a few of you about it's those moments when you know that you know that it's a little bit different of an atmosphere than just a program. I never hope to have a program here. I hope that we are always full of the Holy Spirit, amen? So we've had part one, part two, and part three about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that that is the supernatural gift from God that He promised and commanded that we wait for? He didn't just say, wait for it. We'll get here in just a minute. He commanded that we wait for the gift that He wants to give to us. You know why? I can't tell you that until next week. But that's okay. Because today is about introducing you. Some of you for the very first time. Some of you maybe a time of refilling of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you can be baptized over and over and refilled? Because sometimes we're pouring out of ourselves so much that we're drawn on spiritually. Moms, you get it all the time. You gotta not only be physically involved with the kids, but they're drawn on you spiritually all the time. So anyway, I just want to review starting at, hey, Brother Jeremy, I gave them to you. Oh, you got them? Oh, can you, you got I heard that Brother Hanks brag on him last week, and he's worth bragging on. You know, I don't know if you know it, but nobody recognizes that guy until that guy messes up. And then when he messes up, everybody goes, anyway. So what is the base scripture that we're using? You guys know Acts chapter. No! Chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, right? And I'm not sure if I can see this, but we're gonna try it. Let's just review. If you got your Bibles there, man, hey, get ready and strap up. Get over to Acts. If you don't, Jeremy can give that to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to go to verse 1, right? It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Hey, Jeremy, can you do this for me? There's a last light that's here. If you could just put those on, they can stay. They can stay. Because they're going to have to become lights today. Amen? Oh, that's a little bit better. Yes, sir. Wow, that feels way better. Are you there? Verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. It's important to be in unity. Amen? The church can never have any suddenlies without being unified. Some of you could be here in service with us but not be on the same page. And when you're not on the same page as we're on, guess what? Nothing's going to happen that's of any value. Because we're just going through the motions. We're going through good songs. We're going through a program. And we don't want that. So anyway, so when it was fully come, wow, look at verse 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Let me tell you something. A lot of times I get this question asked to me. Man, why is HTC sometimes a little loud? And as a pastor, I go, yeah, it is loud sometimes. I'm trying to tell them to turn it down every once in a while. But you know what's happening? I'm just telling you, to make a sound from heaven is a little bit noisy at times. You hear me? Listen, when you're shouting with a voice of triumph, it's loud in heaven. And for those of you who think it's too loud, I will agree with you that there will be times in heaven. There'll be times in heaven when we shall be still and know that He is God. But if you bonked your head on a bumper because you think it's always going to be quiet in heaven, you better read your Bible. Amen. So, it suddenly comes a mighty rushing wind. It comes from heaven. They were all in one accord, and it filled the whole house. It filled your house. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can fill your house? Parents, you listen to me. You've got children that are in your house. And if you just look at this, the Spirit of God filled the house first before He filled the people. So parents, here's what I'm just telling you. It's important what you allow into your house. Stop letting the YouTubes, the wrong channels, the wrong commercials, the wrong cartoons, quit letting that be the house that's being filled with demonic stuff. Oh, it can't be, it's just a cartoon. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you just go ahead and you just let Disney come and enter into your house. And you'll be filled with a different spirit. I can promise your kids will line up and not be in a place where they need to be. I'm just giving you wisdom here. Can I tell you that? Listen here, parents. Put on some praise and worship music. make a sound from heaven in your house. And guess what happens? The people in the house will be filled eventually. It's going to fill your house, but it's going to fill your children. And it may even fill your wife. And wives, it may fill your husbands. Supernatural Spirit of God. This was not just some happening. This is the day of Pentecost. This is when they were baptized. And yes, they spoke in tongues. Listen. Chapter 19 of Acts. That's, you know, I think it was 24 years later than this, when this was written. It says that Paul went to a church and he was visiting it and he was talking to him. Hey, what's happening? Yada, yada. He's preaching the gospel. And he noticed something was goofy about him. And he stopped and he said, hey, guys, something's wrong here. He says, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? And they said, no. We've not even heard of such a thing. What do you mean? There's more than the baptism of John? Oh, yeah, there's more. And he laid hands on them, 24 whatever the years were, it was more than a day, I can promise you that. And they spoke with other tongues, and they prophesied, and they began to utilize the supernatural tools that God has for us. Can I tell you something? Over the last 2 years, there's been an unbelievable global revival around the world that has millions of people coming to know who Christ is. We see some of it here in America. The Ashbury revival, right? We had the University of Arkansas. We had the University of Mississippi in California. They're experiencing a pouring out. But we are needing parts of this verse that we just talked about. We need the United States to become united so that we can be all on the same page and we can receive, man, the power of millions coming to the Lord. That's what's happening over the last 2 years around the global part of it. And it's coming, listen, it's coming to churches that are involved, that are what we call full gospel. Everybody understand the full gospel? The full gospel means that they still believe that God heals, God delivers, right? Man, that God would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm already saved. I know you are. Listen, we're going to get into it and we're going to show you some scriptures where you go, man, I thought I was already filled with the Holy Spirit. You are. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have. You're just like those guys in Acts 19. That you're saved and you've got the filling of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have the gifts of the supernatural power that God wants to give to you. You okay? All right. Wow. And there came a sound of heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Wow, listen to this. Then and only then did the Spirit appear to them, divided tongues, that what? It sat upon each one of them. Do you realize that there's 120 people? We may have 80 people in here right now. I don't know what we have without the kids, but it's something like this. And there's 120 of them, and each one of them, as the Spirit filled the room, he filled the people. Every one of them, not just the pastor, not just the girl who can play the keys and sing. He filled every one who was a believer. They were believers. That was why they were there. They were believing who Christ was. They were in the upper room because they were the ones. Man, we might as well look at that right quick. Can you sneak over to Acts 1? It's probably down in the list. but I can't go through. Ah, look at that. So here's one of two Sundays that happened, okay? We're going to go to the other one. I mean, I'm not sure how this is going to work out because I'm supposed to be going to the other one first, but hey, can you give me grace? So here's a Sunday. He's already gone to the cross, Jesus, all right? He's already been resurrected, and he's fixing to go back to be at the right hand of the Father. So what he's fixing to tell the disciples has got to be important because that's the last things he's ever going to say to these guys before he goes up to be with the Father. So he goes on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about. John baptizes with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Man, this is backwards because I wanted to get to the other first Sunday, but this is going to help us a little bit. The first part, go back to the first one, my brother. He gave them this suggestion. He gave them this partially a directive for them to possibly follow. He gave them a command, a commandment like the Ten Commandments. You understand that kind of thinking there when he says, hey, I don't want you to just to choose who you will serve this day. That's a free will of ours. But once you're in, there's some commands he wants you to follow through with. And it's always for the good of who you are. It's never to hurt you. It's to equip you. It's to make you have the wisdom of God available to you by which of what is a gift from the Father. How in the world would we not want a gift from the Heavenly Father? It's going to help us, right? And it's going to prepare us to help others. So he's commanded, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which promise, which you have heard from me and speak about. Keep going, because I'm on notes now. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In a few days, when you wait, he says a few days, it's 10 days altogether. All right? So then 10 days is more than a few to me, right? So I'm going to Jerusalem on behalf of what God's Son told me to do. A few days means maybe one or two. I'll pack I'll have my toothbrush and a change of clothes, but I'm not packing up for 10 days. But that's how long it was before they all could come in unity and one accord. They all came for the same purpose, right? They all came because God commanded them to, but it came to a place by which they got on the same page. And then the suddenly happened, right? Why? Because the Father promised it. The Father commanded it. But if they would have never been in one accord, guess what happens? You can't receive yay and amen promises by doing something else that God's not told you to do. If you're disobedient, delayed obedience really is disobedience. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. Sometimes we go, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get to that. Just give me a few months or give me a month. No. That's delayed obedience is disobedience, period. From that moment on, when you decided to obey later on, you disobeyed right now. So, anyway. Wow, where am I going? Do you know where I'm going? I have no idea. Okay, it's good. It's good. God knows what he's doing. John 16, okay? Backdrop for here. Jesus has had 3.5 years of ministry with his disciples, right? He was ministering. You know, he grew up and all that kind of stuff, but he started his ministry and it lasted for about 3.5 years, right? And so he's coming to the end of this 3.5 years, and he's going to be leaving to go from earth to heaven. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be resurrected, and then he's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And this is the passage of the Last Supper, all right? Christ has not been killed yet. He's not been crucified by, and remember, they didn't kill him. He willingly gave up, the Bible says, his life for us. But it's a fascinating couple of chapters there between 14 and 17. Those chapters all do with the Last Supper and with Jesus saying some things. Hey, again, I'm fixing to leave. What is the one thing I'm going to talk about? It's the issue of the Holy Spirit. Man. So the disciples are gathered around taking the bread and the wine, if you remember right, and eating with him. And man, the discussion is over the Holy Spirit. And he says something very interesting in verse 6. He says, don't be sad that I am leaving. It says, instead of you grieve because of what I've told you, I'm just saying, this is the bow version. You know what I'm saying? Listen, don't be sad that I'm leaving. Instead, what does it say? Verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. It is B-E-S-T that I go away. Jesus says my absence is not better, it's best for you. I can see it maybe being better. I don't know how, because I'd rather have Jesus with me. Wouldn't you have, man, if I was one of the apostles, I need Jesus all the time with me, man. I've enjoyed it. 3.5 years, it's been a ride. Some of it I didn't understand. Some of it has been persecution. But, man, I'm hanging with this guy. I've given my life to him, and I don't want him to leave. But he's saying to me, listen, man, it's best that I go. Whew. Wow. It's best. Why? Because if I don't, the advocate, it can't come, the comforter, it can't come. The Holy Spirit can't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him, him being the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send him to you. So, Jesus said that for him to go and sit at the right hand of the Father was not just better, but the ultimate best situation for them at that moment. And that doesn't make sense to us, does it? We would much rather have Jesus with us, right? So, So what Jesus was doing is he was preparing them to a place by which the Holy Spirit could not only come to the 12, but to all the believers after that. I don't even know if you can understand, but what Jesus was to the 12 disciples, the Holy Spirit, did I say disciples? That's from disciples and diapers. Because I have a grandchildren that are pulling up. And listen, when it says on the box 30 to 45 pounds, it don't hold 35 to 40 pounds. I can promise you that. All right, so where was I? See, I should have done that. Yeah, the disciples, I understand. I'm probably getting back to that, just trying to figure it out how I'm going to get to the right place. So what Jesus was to the 12 disciples, the Holy Spirit is that to the church. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the church, whatever the population is on earth right now, man, I can tell you that there are 2 billion plus believers, right, around the world and growing because the Spirit of God is in them. It's empowering us. The Holy Spirit is right here. The Holy Spirit is right now, right? And what Jesus was for a small group of young men, the Holy Spirit is to the church. And he'll speak to you if you know him. He'll speak to me, right? He's going to speak to those down the hallway. There's no junior Holy Spirit. When is it time for them to become filled with the, when God says it's time? If they're a believer, it's time. He'll lead you. He'll lead me. He'll guide you. He will guide me. He'll do everything that Jesus did for the 12. And he says, it's the best thing that I could have done for you at this moment is send you the Spirit of the living God, which is a supernatural tool that in 1 Corinthians starts talking about. Here's what the Spirit of God can be in your life. It's not just an it. It's not just a he. It is not the third in a list of three guys. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, and all have equal authority, equal power, equal access to you. But you got to receive him and know that he is. Listen, I got a truck out there that's a four-wheel drive, right? I haven't used the four-wheel drive but maybe two times in my life since I've owned the truck. But I have so much power, why am I not never using it? Because I never get myself in situations where I need that power. And that's where our church is at. The American church has plenty of people who are saved or filled with the Holy Spirit, but they got a four-wheel drive vehicle that they don't understand. They got power, and God wants you to get into some situations where you got to rely on that power. Don't think that Alan's not having to just give himself and say, man, Father, I need that power now. He needs four-wheel drive now. He needs that power. But we sit and keep ourselves in places of safety and places where we're still in control. And if somebody sings a good song, we'll maybe get involved in that. And we'll raise our hands and Acts 19, remember we said Paul's there, and it's way after this. And we've not even heard of the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing in the church today. We've not even heard of the Holy Ghost. Most of you just go, I've heard of the Holy Spirit, and I've received, I think, didn't I get that when I got saved? Yeah, you did. But there's more. But there's more. United States needs to embrace not just the love of God and the grace of God, but the power of God so that we can be the church. We can be a sissy church if you want to. I don't want to be a sissy church. You know? Sissy churches don't get used. Sometimes those sissy churches are the ones when he comes back and checks on you, you forgot to fill your lamp. It's not going to be a good place to be if your lamp's not full. Well, and what time is it? 12:08. Golly. 10 minutes? Okay, so know that I just spoke probably evangelistically. That number 10 could double. All right, so some quick review. I know but I want to make sure that you understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is referred to 7 times in the New Testament. We talked about that last time, right? 4 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And then 3 other times in the book of Acts. Not 3 other times because, yeah, that would be 7. Yeah, so 3 other times in the book of Acts, all right? So I want to review with you really quick. Matthew 3:11, John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, this is John again. I indeed baptize you with water, but he who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Right? Luke 3:16, John answers saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in the Spirit and with fire. fire. And finally, the book of John. That's right, Andrew. Chapter 1. I did not know him. This is John again. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, this is he who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Now, why am I doing that for review? Because if you'll notice that it's John, well, it's Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, John 1. All very early in the chapters of what these authors are telling us about Jesus. And the first thing that they describe to us is not that Jesus is our Savior, not that he's our deliverer, not that he's our healer, not that he's come for us. No, they are saying, I want to tell you about the one thing that just blows me away. He's a baptizer of the Holy Spirit. It's not some random thought that the authors are having. This was penned by the Holy Spirit. So they're saying, listen, if you want to know one thing, he is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. It's not just some random chance of probability, man. But we don't think of him like that, man. We don't think of him. We think of him being like the Messiah, our deliverer, our man, God's son, the Redeemer, all that kind of stuff. Oh. So now I'm going to go back to the first Sunday. Remember I was telling you there's two Sundays? Man, I wish I could. It would have been better for you if I could have done the first one, but sometimes the Holy Spirit gets in the way and a man tries to do the best. So here's what's happening. This is the first Sunday that I wanted to talk to you about, and it's on Resurrection Sunday. He's been crucified, right? He's gone to the grave. He's been resurrected, and now he's going to present himself here to the disciples. So it says in verse 19 of John 20, it says, that Sunday, this is before the other Sunday we talked about. It says, that Sunday the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus, he didn't come through the door. He's just there. How is he just there? I don't know. Maybe he walks through the wall. I don't know. But somehow he's there, but he doesn't walk through the door like a normal person does because he's resurrected. He's who he is. He's got the supernatural ability to do anything he wants to do that's Spirit-led. Right? And so he's standing among them, and he says, peace be with you. And he said, as he spoke, he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side, right? And they were filled with joy when they saw that it was the Lord. All right, and again he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. And he breathed on them. He breathed on them, and what happened? Is that the right one? Yeah, I guess so. I didn't recognize that slide. And they received the Holy Spirit. That was the first time since Adam. Remember when God created Adam way back in Genesis? And he's molding him out of the dirt and the clay. And what does he do? He breathes on Adam. And what happens? Life comes into Adam's body. It's the same word. It's the same word. But what happens is Adam and Eve, as you know the story, they fall. And that's another teaching after. But just know that from this point on now, they had the life of God breathed into them. Up until that point in the Old Testament and into the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was either in the temple or the Ark of the Covenant or some man-made structure. But he was not in man's, he's not in us. But man, the Bible says that we are vessels of honor and that the Holy Spirit does what? He lives in us, right? We have become the temple of the Holy Spirit at that moment. Wow. And we're not our own, is what the word says. We have been bought with a price, and that is the blood that was shed for all mankind. and that was Jesus. Amen. So that was the first time that people received the Holy Spirit, was upon them believing that Christ was the Savior and then needing the Holy Spirit to fill them. After that, it's just like what we know today in the church. If you receive Jesus as Lord of your life and you make him your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. It's that second Sunday when God said there's another encounter. Just like they had in Acts chapter 2, but also in Acts chapter 19. Also in chapter 11. We'll get into those a little bit later, but there are different times. And there are refillings and rebaptisms in the Holy Spirit that you may not even realize that took place to the church. It's not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There's some other times when people have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, but then they need a refreshing and refillment, and God gives them that. And that's what we need to be experiencing. You may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit when you were, I don't know, 18 years old, 7 years old, I don't know. Mine was when I was in, remember, I was in the stall of a bathroom. So, man, I'm going to wind up. I said 10 minutes, and I'm doing good. So as she's playing, I just want you to know that God wants you to choose him in all that he is. He wants you to choose God the Father and God the Son, but he also wants you to choose God the Spirit. And to do that, the Spirit will come upon you as Jesus baptizes you. As Jesus, he's the baptizer. That's what he said. John baptized with water, but Jesus baptized them in the Spirit. So I'm hoping I'm letting you see at least a small percentage of how that all works and how it kind of lays out in the Word and the story and how all that came to be. And maybe it doesn't. Again, if you really do want a supernatural life, an expression thereof, you can't just use normal tools. You gotta use what Jesus gives to you. That's how it works. That's the only way it works. You are built for good works, and you can do some good things, but he gave us the power, man. Acts chapter, is that verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, or down there a little bit further where he says, you shall receive power. Where is that one, Jeremy? Huh? It's in Acts chapter 1, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 1, can you find it? I'm sorry, guys, not fair to you. I had it in order when we were going. And it's not Jeremy's fault at all. So don't get on him. He's a great man of God. Anyway, he says, I will endue you with power, and you will be my witnesses unto what? Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, if I remember right. Right? You have to have that power to be able to be a witness. That's why I believe the church here in America is so frail, is we don't have the power. And we don't witness like we should. We love the scripture that says we are walking epistles read and seen by all men. I don't have to speak about God. My life represents it. Sounds good. I think if God used the word croc, he would use it there. So anyway, stand to your feet. My goal of you today was to give you evidence of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. My goal is not for you to become baptized in the Holy Spirit like I am. That's not good. That's not a good reason. But I do want you to be in a place by which the enemy can't have his way with you. You hear me? I'm not saying that he can always have his way with you at any time if you don't get baptized. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that you'll be endued with a different type of power. And some of these things don't come out but by much prayer and fasting. Remember that? There are different strengths in the spirit realm that we have to deal with, right? You see, where else does it say we speak in tongues? It says, in the last days, I will pour my spirit out. Remember in Mark chapter 16, huh? And they will speak, they will do a lot of things, but it does say they will speak in new tongues. So I give that to you today, and here's what I want from you. And I want it, listen, old coach, so you're going to run, you have to run, what do we call them? Alan, no, not laps, where you jumped and you threw yourself on the box and what was that called? Huh? Burpees, y'all could call it burpees. I thought that was when you did this, but when you're going to run till you, till you don't like it. Because I need for it to be the atmosphere that we need in here. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you want to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit, just hang out. Hang out. Be one of the 120. Huh? We can have 120. And it's no, listen, if today was not your day, but you said, man, I've never heard some of that, I want to think about this and figure out if it's for me. I tell you it's for you, but you need to make up your decision for yourself. You can't live on me. You can't live on what I believe. You need to know what you believe. It's by your faith, not by my faith, not by your wife's faith. And in many years, I will live by my wife's faith. The rest of you, and slowly make your way out. Don't say hello to somebody until you get out of there. And make sure the doors are closed if y'all can, Mr. Eddie. And I can't see. Is that Pop Chris? Yeah. So with every, Father, I just pray great wisdom over every vessel that's here today, Lord God. Show them your gift. Empower them. Love them as you always do. Have grace for the ones who are making a decision to go, man, I just need to get my head straight about all of this. And I understand that. But those of you who want to come forth, I'll pray over you, but it's going to be not me that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be, listen, it's 10 days before they got it. You can have it just like that. Or sometimes it waits a lot. Remember me? It took me 2 or 3 weeks before I had an encounter in that stall. But it's an invitation. It's an invitation for you to receive power from Him who has promised you, the God the Father. So if that's interesting to you and that's where you'd like to be, or you'd like to be refreshed or refilled, hey, come on up. Just relax and just drink of the water that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The rest of you, I love you. Absolutely know that I love you. God loves you. The guy next to you or the girl next, hey, we love you with the love of the Lord. In Jesus' name, have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Don't forget, do not forget to go to the website and go to Tithely. We need all for you. Again, $5 will go a long way if we get 100 people that do $5. And 5,000 would be even more. In Jesus' name, amen.
All the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost.